Live from Oasis Bar and Grill, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go, live on a Tuesday, Oasis Bar and Grill, you heard it. It's catered to South of Trop. Busy day, Adam Hill has had a busy day and night. Trying to follow what the hell's going on with conference chaos, so we'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Again, we're all set up here at Oasis. It is a Tuesday spot for us. It's actually a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday spot for us.
Yeah.
This is actually the third day in a row I've been here, so when you hear other people who are like, yeah, I go there. Everyone we do stuff with, we go there. Trust me. Because if I wasn't here, then I'd probably be at Ellis Island in the front yard or over at Circa or at TI. We're certainly over at, not because we're in legal trouble all the time, but Battleborne Injury Lawyer.
Sure.
So Adam Hill is here.
Literally on the phone with Justin on the way here.
Yes. I saw you guys starting a text thread. I kind of wanted to be on that, but I thought it was going to be really complicated. So I actually didn't want to be on it. But we'll get what's going on with lawsuits and exit fees and all that in just a couple minutes. We're heading towards the Aces playing tonight in their second playoff game, Aces and Storm. 6 o'clock pregame, 6:30 with the tip. Let's do a giveaway right now to start. Let's be very jolly and jovial. Why not? That's this show.
Why does it sound sarcastic when you say stuff like that?
364-1100, caller 7. 2 tickets to go see A Perfect Circle, Primus, and Pussifer. It's actually a show that's coming up in early 2025. You can get the tickets at Ticketmaster.com. The tickets are for sale, and the location is Planet Hollywood. 2 tickets. Griffin will hook you up. 364-1100, 364-1100. All right. Well, do you have conclusions? Will we get an update, a final update today? Let's take people through the, I would say from about 4 o'clock on, all the twists and turns on the Pac-12 trying to reform itself and the Mountain West trying to fight back. Can you remember everything?
What day is today? It's been wild. I can't believe all this was yesterday. It seems like it was a month ago. It's been a long time, but actually, you said 4 o'clock. I mean, it started obviously several hours earlier as it started to kind of take shape. The Mountain West had allegedly, and nobody's quite, you know, ready to confirm the timeline, but the Mountain West had allegedly on Friday given Air Force, UNLV, and Utah State in particular, but really the entire conference, until 5:30 yesterday to commit to the conference.
Yeah.
Now, the AAC kind of did a similar thing, and it worked. The entire conference put together a statement, they all signed and said, we're in, we're accepting some, you know, some motivation incentives financially, yeah, to stay around. Here's our statement, we're coming, we're staying together.
I was told around 3, maybe 2:45, that the deadline,
of course, that's why I said it's
take it or leave it for, yeah, UNLV. I certainly don't, I don't think they want to be strong-armed,
right,
to have to make a decision. This is an important decision.
And I think, you know, UNLV knew that them, along with Air Force and Utah State, were the schools that had some power in this, because the Mountain West certainly needed them to be around. They were offered financial incentives by the Mountain West to stay around. And the Pac-12 was obviously offering incentives as well to join the Pac-12. And UNLV and Utah State were, of course, the targets of the Pac-12. Air Force, a target of the AAC, so they could join Army and Navy for the first time ever in an athletic conference. So they're being pulled in all kinds of different directions. And from my understanding, it was not a direct conversation, but almost a, you're in, right? Yeah, you're in, right? Cool. All right.
This is between who?
Utah State and UNLV.
Okay. So the thought was both were committed.
And that UNLV said, okay, we're in. Utah State's in, we're in. We're cool. And UNLV decides they will agree. Utah State decides they will not, and they will announce that they are leaving for the Pac-12. Now, there are some that are of the opinion that, hey, Utah State screwed UNLV over, and this is a really, really bad situation. I am actually of the opinion that while UNLV was caught off guard, they ended up in a great position because of it. There's two schools of thinking on this, and I think they're both valid to some degree. But the bottom line is UNLV is now the team that's kind of floating out there, along with Air Force, who now is rethinking their commitment, because UNLV and Air Force's commitment to the Mountain West was a commitment to 8 teams in the Mountain West. Now that there's only 7, those commitments are invalid. So they haven't committed. Air Force hasn't committed because they only committed to an 8-team conference. There's no such thing as an 8-team conference right now. So they are now, you know, able to rethink what they're going to do. And really all the teams are, because there's only 7 teams in the conference. That's not a conference. Well, 8 teams have to be in a conference to be recognized by the NCAA. Right now the Mountain West is only at 7. So there's a lot of moving back and forth and figuring out what's going to happen. And then complete chaos was thrown into the situation when today the Pac-12 sued the Mountain West. Which I thought was going to come in the next couple weeks, maybe next couple of months, certainly at some point. It just so happened to be filed today. And now I think UNLV is like, okay, well, let's see how this goes. We're good. We're going to sit back here and not necessarily wait on the outcome of this, but at least take a couple more hours and say, all right, where's this going to go? What's going to happen here? What do our lawyers think?
So what's the next move by each conference, by the Pac-12 and the Mountain West Conference?
Well,
I mean, Clara Tavares has been pretty tough all along. Shouldn't she just shut the door on UNLV and move on?
Move on to what? At that point, they're done. Because here's the other wrinkle that could be thrown into this. If UNLV leaves, Air Force certainly leaves. Probably within 5 minutes. Oh, you're gone? We're gone. Okay. So now the Mountain West is at 5. That means if they lose 2 more teams, according to their bylaws, they're no longer a conference. So how could the Pac-12 avoid any fees? They've filed a lawsuit, but they also could take 2 more teams or pay the AAC to take 2 more teams in the Mountain West and get it down to 3, and then it's not a viable conference anymore. Now, they could probably fight that in court too, but I doubt they would have much standing. They're in a very precarious situation. They're pretty much, at this point, begging. And I don't think it's just UNLV and Air Force now. I think they're probably also begging Utah State, please come back, because they need to get to an 8th to move forward. Now, if they are able to secure UNLV and Air Force, they would probably go, you know, immediately try to react by adding like a Sacramento State or a Texas State or somebody like that. But I guess why would those teams want to jump into a conference that looks like it's falling apart? So then do you go
down? We had heard last week that Sacramento State's like, Mountain West, no, we want the Pac-12.
Yeah, they want it.
Imagine.
They want the Pac-12. So there is a school of thought that UNLV is now sitting and saying, all right, Pac-12, you need us to get to 8. Right now you have 7. You have to get to 8 to be a viable conference. You can't be a conference without 8 teams. You need us. So pay us multi-millions of dollars. Pay us a full fee right away, that the same amount that Oregon State and Washington State get to make us.
Because that was another part of possibly of the proposal, right? That they, because they weren't the first invites, that they would actually gradually be given all the money from the conference?
That was part of the proposal. But also I think Oregon State and Washington State aren't even giving completely full to the 4 breakaway schools at this point.
Oh, my God. They agreed to pay $18 million exit fee?
We don't know yet.
Without a full share?
We don't know yet. No, it's not, we don't know what the details are of the deals. We've heard what they've kind of put out there, what they want to put out there, what they want people to hear.
Of course.
So they've said that they got favorable deals, but we don't know for sure. We don't know what UNLV is being offered. But there's a school of thought that UNLV is in such a position of power, they can ask for the moon, the stars, and everything else. And say, hey, by the way, UNLV's ultimate goal is being in the Big 12, not the Pac-12. So we also want complete out if we get to go to the Big 12 without any kind of fees.
But we don't know if San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise, and Fresno sign something that's ironclad either.
Sure. We don't
know. So they would ask for the same thing.
Yeah. Well, again,
Is the communicate, like, are those 4 bonded together where they're all going to sign the same deal? If UNLV negotiates a better deal, all 6 would know about it, right? They're all voting. Sure. The new schools are voting members.
Yeah, but where would they go?
What, with their outs?
Yeah.
I would think San Diego State and Boise State would want Big 12 as well.
Sure. That, again, Big 12 right now is saying, we're not doing it now. So where would they go right now? I mean, it'd be kind of tough. They'd be floating in the wind then. There is another school of thought that says, no, UNLV is not a position of power. The Pac-12 can say, you're coming here, you're going nowhere. So sign whatever we tell you to sign. So I don't know.
Is the backup plan, and this is a wild one, but I think the AAC wants to get a little bigger and maybe have a little more of a Western footprint. Could they make a run at a couple of Mountain West Conference schools? Like, are they also a threat to pull other schools? Not just Air Force and UNLV are a threat, but what about New Mexico? I mean, I think San Jose State's a little far, and I'm not sure what the economics are at San Jose State.
Well, I mean, we can find out maybe from the threat caster, the person that's identifying the potential threats to the Mountain West that they get $10 million
to. Since this has become an inside joke, do you want to describe what that is and where that was from?
Well, the Mountain West, Gloria Navarro's announced that they had hired a consulting team, one that does threat casting, where they had paid $10 million to find out where the threats to the conference are. And I went back and watched that press conference this week, by the way. And one of the first questions is like, isn't the threat just the Pac-12? And the answer was, well, there's many things that are out there that are potential threats to the conference. It was just kind of funny to go back and look and see that question posed directly. But yeah, there's a lot there. So, plenty to try to figure out and sort through. And from what I was told literally on the way here, dead silence from UNLV right now, which it probably should be.
Well, it has been consistently.
Yeah.
You've noticed that, right?
I have.
Since they got new management. And actually, DRF was pretty good at that. She kept it pretty tight-lipped and there weren't leaks. Obviously, the eras before that were a disaster because there were leaks all the time.
And I know.
And that, to me, is that is a sign of a problem from the top down.
There should be strategic leaks. Strategic.
No, I'm not sure.
There should.
Okay.
Because you're getting in a position where then everybody else gets to tell your story. And you don't get to, you know, again, strategic leaks would be off-the-record conversations with the right people saying, here's what's going on. This is what our goal is. This is what we want to do. Obviously, you can't quote me on this, but this is our goal. Because instead, everyone else in the world gets to tell your story. So
I wonder if there's a lack of trust in the people in the market.
Potentially. But again, it's, as I said, the right people. Because there are leaks to the wrong people, and we see that those go bad places.
Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trop. We're here until 6 o'clock live show, and they've got a cool new special. You buy an entree 24/7, and you get a free dessert. Check out the cheesecakes, about 6 of them, that I posted up on social media at Steve Cofield, at steve.cofield on Instagram. All of our ESPN Las Vegas pages have it. But, yeah, free dessert with a purchase of an entree. You can take advantage of that today, and it's 24/7. You just come in. You mentioned ESPN Radio. You mentioned Cofield. You mentioned radio. Whatever you need to, it's Oasis Bar and Grill. But stop on by. We got UNLV Fresno tickets as well, which are becoming really hard to get a handle on. So we got two hours and 45 plus minutes on the way. That first 15 went pretty quick.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Oasis Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, good timing. Appreciate it from the Mountain West. Gloria Navarez with a statement on that Pac-12 lawsuit. If you're just tuning in, this is going round and round with the Pac-12 and the Mountain West Conference. Now the Pac-12 has filed a lawsuit about the exit fees that the Mountain West, in an agreement that the Mountain West believes is legal, was requiring of both the Pac-12 to pay penalties and the schools leaving to pay penalties back to the Mountain West. Navarro says to say that the Mountain West was taking advantage of the Pac-12 could not be farther from the truth. Mountain West Conference wanted to help Pac-12 schools and student athletes, but not at the expense of the Mountain West. Pac-12 has taken advantage of our willingness to help them and enter into a scheduling agreement with full acknowledgement and legal understanding of their obligations. Now that they have carried out their plan to recruit certain Mountain West schools, they want to walk back what they legally agreed to. There has to be a consequence to these types of actions. So, in running this by people who have been through this before, I'm sure that's some of your sources, Adam Hill, and people on the legal front, I'll put it in clunky fashion. How legal is this, and could it be unraveled? Is Navarez right?
The opinion of I'll say I've talked to three lawyers today. The opinion of the three all seems to be pretty unison that the Pac-12 is in the right in this suit. I didn't think they would be based on, you know, my very little legal expertise, because I said, sign a contract. So at the crux of this is the Pac-12, when they were desperate, signed a contract with the Mountain West to schedule some football games. And as part of that agreement, the Mountain West said, hey, we're keeping you alive. You'd die without this. So if you are then to try to take our schools later, you're going to pay a very significant price. And the Pac-12 said, oh, yeah, whatever. We'll sign it. Now, to me, that means you have a contract.
Right.
From the legal perspective, what I've been told, lawyers would argue, well, it's really, if the contract's not legal, you don't have a contract. And in this case, it sounds like it's not legal because there's already punitive fees for the exit fees of leaving the conference. So now you're doubling, you're charging again a punitive fee.
So they're getting the Mountain West Conference schools for a fee, and then they're going to the Pac-12 and saying, you got to pay a fee too.
Yeah. And they're also saying,
not a penalty.
What damages are there? You're not leaving until after the 2025-2026 year, which is when your media rights deal expires anyway. So we're not paying you for something that you're not actually losing. You don't have any rights beyond that year. So why would we pay you damages for something you're not losing, because they're not leaving before the deal is over? So, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. They also are in a favorable jurisdiction in California that has traditionally been opposed to anything that stifles competition, non-compete clauses, things like that. This district seems to be a little bit more favorable to not enforcing those. So it sounds like there is some legal standing that the Pac-12 could have, even though my original thought was, hey, you signed a contract. What do you mean? So we'll see how this goes. The other, you know, ramification this has is who knows how long this could be held up. By that point, there might not be a Mountain West Conference. This is maybe just, hey, let's file a suit. Let's keep this tied up until there's no league anymore. Then we don't have to worry about it anyway. Basically, they just don't want to pay. And usually in this case, you don't pay, because the other factor here is the Mountain West going to burn through all the money that they would get anyway fighting this in court?
Would that be a $100 million defense?
I mean, well,
millions and
who
millions?
Knows how much it'll be?
Really?
Several million? So at what point do you say, well, now we're just eating up all this money that we would have gotten anyway? There's a lot of layers to it, for sure.
Yes.
But I also assume that part of what is going on with UNLV today is their lawyers looking through this and saying, okay, is this going to win? What is this going to mean going forward? What does this mean to us? What side do we want to be on? It's another factor. And weighing that against all the other factors that are involved in this decision, whether they're going to go to the Pac-12 or not.
So a lot of it's basically what you just described, right? They have to assess the risk of committing to leave and if they're going to have to pay $18 million plus. Or will the suit win and then they're scot-free?
Well, they'd still have to pay the exit fees unless there's no conference.
Right.
And they would, at that point, not have to pay any poaching fee, but the conference would have to pay that. And what is the Pac-12 going to pay them to come over? All those are factors.
Yeah, like I said yesterday, I'm pretty consistent on public money going to, like, large amounts of public money going to athletics. I'm talking Oakland A's, I'm talking stadiums. So I got to be consistent on this. I'm not, well, I'll ask you, you went to UNLV. I'm not in support of using taxpayer dollars to move conferences, which basically is just a merger, sort of, with two teams that exist in the Pac-2.
Yeah.
It just seems, you know, like throwing money at something that may be better in terms of TV rights fees and distribution down the road, but it's only a mite. Now, I guess the alternative is
pretty fair.
It could be a disaster for your athletics program and you have nowhere to go. But
well, the calculation really isn't, are you staying in the Mountain West? Because some people said, why would you stay? There's not even a conference, which is true. Like, if you stay in the Mountain West, you're not relevant for a while.
Are you just buying time for the 2 years and then you'll find somewhere?
That's not what you're doing. That's what you're doing. And really what you would do, if there is money to be had, if there is a big distribution of money from the Pac-12, you would take the money as UNLV. You would go to Barry Odom and say, here's $10 million. You stay and beat up on, you know, whoever, you know, College of Oxnard or whoever you're going to play.
Be in a conference that is akin to Liberty.
Right.
And maybe, you know, maybe that's of interest. You smash people, and then you make yourself even more attractive to when conference chaos happens again.
Yeah, beat up on these schools for a couple of years, and make sure you stay around, and hopefully you get in the Big 12. Now, if you don't, trouble. But that's the calculation that you're taking, right, that you would keep him around, keep other coaches around, improve facilities even more, and try to be in a better position when the Big 12 is expanding.
Greeny on the morning show and fellow columnist to DRJ's buddies with the Union Tribune guy, Ziegler. Has there been any conversation? Because I'm kind of wondering, in California, which sort of has my mindset that athletics, while it's how I make a living, I don't think taxpayer dollars should go in large numbers to sports and athletics and stadiums. Is there anyone in the state system in California who's like, wait, what? Fresno and San Diego, how much, what? You're paying what? To get out, what?
Well, we don't know how much they're actually paying. But if the conference paid their...
But it's been a week.
Yeah.
Like, so is the plan with the exit fees at San Diego State especially, is that all funded by the school with no help from the public?
Well, they're hoping it's paid by the Pac-12.
Mm, okay.
Or that there's no...
You remember the hubbub when... And really it was a matter of a lack of communication. UCLA kept it all quiet. They were going to the Big Ten, and then... That system is like, no. Yeah. The university system's like, no. You got to cut Cal in for a little bit. You got to cut the system in for a little bit. What are you doing here?
And the other part of this is, you know, I think that there's people at San Diego State and Boise State saying, wait, this is not what we were promised.
That's a great angle. Can we save that one for later?
Yeah.
That is a great angle because then those two schools have been trying to get away from everyone else in the Mountain West Conference for 10-plus years, and they're looking up and they're like, wait. What happened to this grand plan of the AAC? We don't want to be with UNLV. We don't want to be with Utah State. Giveaway time. Two tickets. Shriners Children's Open is in town. TPC Summerlin. You can go to ShrinersChildrensOpen.com to get tickets. It's October 17th to the 20th. Best golfers in the world are on hand. Call our 7 right now. 364-1100, 364-1100. You can also go to LVSportsNetwork.com and register to win VIP tickets to the Shriners Children's Open. Again, you can grab your tickets at ShrinersChildrensOpen.com. On the way back, we got to start getting into business decisions, gates, and more on this. If we get more updates, again, Gloria Navarez just reacted to a lawsuit filed by the Pac-12, and later this hour, we got to get into, I mean, the A's are in their final homestand. You got to see how the Bay Area is reacting, and believe me, they're reacting the right way.
20 years on Las Vegas Sports Radio and over 5,000 shows.
I'm not getting the opportunities to help my team win. And it ain't because Mike Rump is covering me.
Well, why is it then, Keith?
I don't know. I can't put a finger on it.
You telling me Brad don't want to throw you the ball?
I don't necessarily think that it's Brad.
So it's above Brad?
I think it's above Brad. There's no question about it.
Offensive coordinator?
It's only one guy on our staff that's calling
Brad. Who's calling him?
That's our head coach. That's our head coach.
So you saying it's groomed?
It's Cofield and Company.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
So I remember that topic from 20 years ago. That's why the best sound crew pulled it. Because Keyshawn is giving some advice to Michael Parsons, which I think is real hilarious. Adam Hill. So we're hanging out here at Oasis Bar and Grill. That was Keyshawn sort of toward the end of his career. He did that interview with Michael Irvin, and they're both laughing at John Gruden. And this is Keyshawn when he was on the Buccaneers. He's complaining about not getting the ball. Irvin's laughing. They're both laughing at John Gruden, or about John Gruden. The Buccaneers, after that, cut him. That was 10 games into the season. He actually wasn't having a bad season. I think he was at like 45 catches, maybe like 590 yards, a couple touchdowns. Which is, if you look back at his numbers, that's about what he was for a season. Was like 60-catch, 850-yard guy with 4 touchdowns. So he was on the same pace that he eventually was on with Dallas. I think he had 270 reception seasons with Dallas. And I think we used that same song. Because basically Keyshawn got himself fired, and then no one picked him up. And, well, truthfully, he got deactivated, and I don't think was available to anyone else. But they told him, you know what, Key, you know what, we listen to you. No, you're not happy right now about the targets, so here's what we're going to do. Go home, we'll pay you. Shut the hell up.
Sounds like a good deal.
I mean, that's not what he wanted.
Maybe it was.
He wrote a book, Get Me the Damn Ball.
That's true.
So now, I thought this was so funny. It immediately jogged the memory of 20 years ago. Here's Keyshawn Johnson talking about Micah Parsons talking too much.
But he's becoming too much of a locker room lawyer for me. Okay? And what I mean by that is I don't need you every time y'all lose a game, be the first one having that conversation. Okay? And what I mean by that is I don't need you every time y'all lose a game, be the first one having that conversation. Learn to run from the media sometimes. Just run from the media. Every time Sorry. Something goes wrong, I don't need you being a locker room lawyer.
Okay, I will admit that I didn't see that whole show. That was a clip that was out there. Now, Keyshawn may have said, and please text us if you watch that show. Joy Taylor was in the background there, and she's the host of the show. Please text us, 702-364-1100, if Keyshawn, while giving that advice to Micah Parsons, said at least five times, listen, this is advice I wish someone had told me, had given me. Because he didn't preface those comments to Micah Parsons with like, I know because I played and I talk too much. Then this is one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen a former player say on TV.
I mean, what they say is often different than what they practice.
Yeah.
I think we all know that. We all accept that and come to believe that. That happens all the time. So, and I'm just not surprised. I mean, you could say it's maturity. He learned. Well, different opinion now.
Oh, the Keyshawn learned. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you were saying maybe that comes with maturity when you're a football player and Micah Parsons is going to learn like Keyshawn learned, that was the end of Keyshawn's career.
Yeah.
Not the official end, but it was like he was an old guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he could not shut up. He could not talk to the media. He had to do it.
You should learn from Raiders players. They don't.
Well, this I want to get to business decision gate because I think they're making a mistake here from the top down. What'd you make of the Cowboys? Is this just a couple of bad games and nothing to worry about?
I mean, I don't know that the last game was a terrible game. I think Baltimore's really, really good. The Saints game I thought was really, really bad.
Especially seeing the Saints yesterday. Yeah. Or check that Sunday.
Well, we talked Friday. The Saints were a complete fraud. People were talking about them as the best team in the league. Come on.
Derek Carr has been smited for grabbing his junk.
It's true.
He got dinged by the NFL, and then
don't say dinged.
The Lord above said, "Derek, come on, man.
Yeah,
we homies."
I wouldn't say. I know that they were blown out on Sunday, and then they came back and made a respectable late, and almost even came back and won. But I don't think that was necessary. There's no shame losing to the Ravens, despite
But it's the way they lost. Listen to Rex Ryan here melting down.
I wonder what the hell they did all week. Were you surprised that Derrick Henry ran the ball as much as he did and Lamar Jackson is a runner? Look, I get it. It could happen to anybody one week.
Mm-hmm.
But not back-to-back weeks in your own building where you just got pounded. Like, this is a joke. And this is just an ass-whipping. And this is 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
I'd much rather give up 500 yards passing in a game than give up 200 yards rushing. Because that's when you know you get your ass kicked.
I mean, they're clearly not good at stopping the run. You can work all you want on it. Like, you can say, like, what are you doing in practice?
Focus. We did. We can't stop the run. What do you want us to do? Yeah,
and part of it is, you know, Antonio Pierce said this week, you know, the Raiders can't run the ball, so they're going to get in practice, and they're going to hit the sleds, and they're going to start, you know, hitting people again and being physical and, you know, learning how to run. Well, like, sometimes you don't have the right personnel. You don't have the right scheme. Those things aren't in place. You can practice it all day long. It's not going to get any better. The Cowboys should be better. But it's also not easy to stop the Ravens' run game, especially if you don't have the personnel to do it. And it didn't look like they did.
How many teams around the NFL have the personnel now with the game so widespread, so wide open? How many teams actually can play all types of defense? You know, we talked to Steve Kim about this yesterday. A lot of teams just can't nut up to stop the run. They're simply not built to do it.
I mean, that's true. And there is, I think some of it is the level of physicality, the lack of the different ways teams train and practice now. I do think there's part of it that's that. But also, like, you have to, it's a passing league. You have to find personnel. You have to find schemes to stop the pass. You have to make sure that those things are happening. And if you are finding guys that are equipped to stop the pass and be in coverage and, like, linebackers that are better in covering receivers and tight ends and running backs, those guys are not going to be able to get up and be physical in the hole.
Yep.
It's not going to happen. You can't do both.
Okay, let's get to the Raiders. Oof. Business decision gate. What are they doing? Because this is a classic Raider Nation split. Lots of people in Raider Nation are like, why are you doing this, AP? What is the point? The great coaches don't do this. But then there's another half of Raider Nation that's like, yeah, nothing wrong with telling guys they're not playing hard. Okay.
I think both sides of that, they can have their claim and they could probably be right on some level. I have heard people around the league say the first part of you don't do that as a coach. Guys that are former players that just say you do it in the locker room, you tell the guys, you show it in the film room, you don't tell the media. However, there's a caveat on this that I think a lot of people maybe don't know. Antonio Pierce was talking to one player. A guy that he coached in high school and in college and in the pros and has a very, very special, unique relationship.
And a guy that he basically vouched for when another organization is like, clown.
Yeah.
And they thought they had him turned around. And I'm not saying this is the end of the world. You want to mention who it is?
Jack Jones, the cornerback. And, you know, it didn't take long for social media to find the play that Antonio Pierce was most likely talking about. And it's bad.
How bad was it?
Real bad. It's real bad.
Describe it, please.
So Jack Jones was on the corner. Chuba Hubbard ran. It was the first play of the fourth quarter. Chuba Hubbard ran just a pretty simple off-tackle play to the right. Jack Jones was kind of the lone defender, kind of responsible for the edge out there where he was. Had a easy – I'm not going to say easy tackle. It's not easy to tackle a running back. He was standing in front of Chuba Hubbard and jumped out of the way. And Hubbard ended up picking up like 11 yards on a first down. And that was in the backfield. It wasn't good. Now, if you want to not make excuses or however you want to say it, I'm going to point out, as you know, I broke down the film, and that's a story that's coming out for tomorrow. I do that every week on Tuesdays for Wednesdays. And Jack Jones got like beat up in that game. He'd get up. He actually took a groin shot at the bottom of a pile where somebody just kneed him. He could barely walk after that one. Stayed on the field. Made a hit on the next play. Looked like he hurt his hand at one point. He was trying to shake that off and stay in the game. He made like four or five pretty big hits in the game defensively. I think at that point he was very beat up.
Yeah.
You can't do it, as I think it was Darius Butler said on ESPN. He's like, hey, I played that position. He's like, just dive at the ground. Make it look like you're going for his legs. I get it. You're beat up. It's the end of the game. You're blown out. It sucks. Dive at the ground. Don't jump out of the way.
By the way, the great thing about the story, I was just talking about the way Keyshawn Johnson acted in his career. Now giving advice to another player, this era's player, to not talk to the media every time. The situation you just described, I could see Jack Jones going into talk to whoever he needs to talk to, right? Antonio Pierce, Graham, Telesco is saying everything you just said. And then following it up with, do you want me for the full season or not? Does that play really matter that much? Because you know who else would do that?
Deion?
You. You would do it.
It's true.
You would do it.
It's true.
I know you would. So that makes this a really interesting conundrum for the organization. And now Devontae has come over the top with Kay Adams. I guess. Is he doing a weekly appearance?
Yes.
Every
Tuesday.
I actually think, well, for us in this market, it's more valuable than Rodgers and McAfee.
Sure.
Because she has a gift. I talked about her before.
She's great.
She has a gift of kind of lowering the guardrails.
Yeah.
We're going to get something almost every week.
We are.
So is Devontae backing up?
He took a shot at reporters.
Oh, he did? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was wrong.
What was it now?
Well, he just talked about how the beat writers were on a hot mic talking about the team, and it was not the beat writers. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who was it? Don't tell me it was in-house. Was it in-house?
No, I don't want to get into it. I just, as I told him.
I don't want to get into it. Okay.
As I told him,
yeah.
Nobody that's in there asking you questions, nobody that's on the beat, nobody that you deal with was heard.
Beat reporter?
No.
But it was a media person.
Somebody employed?
Someone who is playing the role of a media person.
Not a writer, someone who covers the team.
Someone who creates content.
No. They know nothing about football.
Why do we have to play these games?
People that know nothing about football.
It's like a riddle. Oh, okay.
It's fine. Know nothing about football.
Oh, wow.
No, this, I mean.
We can move on. So.
It's not that important. It'd be like if, never mind, it's fine. If radio people that aren't on the air were discussing football, you're like, why are you even talking about football? You're a salesperson. Why are you talking about football? This doesn't make sense. And then the beat writers get blamed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish up for now on this. Devontae backing up AP?
Yeah. I mean, to an extent.
So that's a good thing?
And I will say, right after the game, it was kind of weird because AP had spoken. We all went into the locker room and said, hey, AP talked about guys making business decisions, and the players were very caught off guard. Like, wait, what? He said what?
So he didn't say it to him?
Apparently not.
In the post game?
Apparently not.
We gotta build on this later on. Come on. The first time you mention it can't be with the media.
No.
Oh, Lordy. Tomorrow's Barry Odom Radio Show. It's back after hiatus, a week off with a bye week. Each week the show is at Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo, 6 o'clock start right after Cofield and Company. They've got a special on Miller Lite between 6 and 7. It's a great place to get breakfast at. Buy one, get one breakfast, 7 to 11 a. And this week is a really good week to come out to watch the Odom Show because anyone wearing Rebel gear, first Miller Lite Brewski is on him. So try to ring it up, right? Try to ring up the bill on Odom. He's buying the first Miller Lite for you guys. Live show, 6 o'clock. It's tomorrow, Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo for the Barry Odom Radio Show.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Oasis Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
He knows the A's are part of the fabric of Oakland and then goes on to explain his version of reality. Fisher says when he and his business partner, Lou Wolf, bought the team back in 2005, quote, our dream was to win world championships and build a new ballpark in Oakland. Over the next 18 years, we did our very best to make that happen. We proposed and pursued 5 different locations in the Bay Area. I know there is great disappointment, even bitterness, though I wish I could speak to each one of you individually. I can tell you this from the heart. We tried. Staying in Oakland was our goal, it was our mission, and we failed to achieve it. And for that, I am genuinely sorry.
Well, Larry Beal understands that market, does he not, Adam? Former ESPN guy years ago, ABC 7 now. He went on a pretty good rant.
And it was a mic drop.
I mentioned today, I don't know why I do this, but most TV sports anchors are not equipped to do rants for 3 minutes. Don't let them do it. And then, unfortunately for Larry, there were 2 regular anchors there who wouldn't shut up. And are like, oh, you're worked up. Would like belittling him for being worked up.
They were like, we've still got 50 seconds left. Keep going.
He did a great job.
Yeah.
By the way, Beal understands the Bay Area. Is Griffin from Las Vegas? Was that Green Day? They're kind of banned right now.
Not as much as Macklemore.
I'm sorry, banned?
Did you see what Green Day said
in
the last week or so about Las Vegas, my friend?
Dropped a blank Las Vegas on stage and said it was a blanking blank hole.
They are a punk rock band.
They hate you, Griffin, and your people.
That's their brand. They're a punk rock band. They're going to say alternative stuff.
Well, say it about other places, not us.
We love Las Vegas, Griffin.
And we love Green Day until they say things about us.
I actually don't care. I love both. So
Las Vegas was very welcoming last year when they did a pop-up show downtown. Some of us were even there.
People do this with Vegas. So. Playing to the crowd.
And it's not even that he's anti-Vegas. He was mad that Vegas took another of their sports teams. He's a very hardcore Oakland sports fan.
Okay, then that. You know what? I can accept that.
Yeah.
I can accept that. Give me some more Larry Beal because John Fisher apparently wrote a letter, which
comedic.
He's been unavailable for 3 years. Larry Beal's like, now you're going to talk? And your version of the truth is outrageous.
Let me tell you what reality is, okay? John, you tried 5 different, extremely flawed stadium proposals. You never got even close to a shovel in the ground. You surround yourself with incompetent yes men. And because you were born into a billionaire family, apparently never learned you have to spend money to make money. See Joe Lacob and the Golden State Warriors, your buddy, who still wants to buy the team. John, you're a serial penny pincher. You've destroyed your family's great name and legacy because of your cheapness. As for the statement about loyal A's fans, quote, I wish I could speak to each and every one of you individually, end quote. Seriously? John, we've been trying to interview you for years, but you always choose to remain invisible unless you're begging politicians for public funding. And then you're out in front in Las Vegas.
Does he know that we know?
Fisher?
Yeah.
No. The letter was insulting to anybody with any brain.
In all markets, by the way.
Yeah.
Everyone in Sacramento, in Vegas, and in the Bay Area should be like, what are you doing?
It was insulting. And did you see Trevor May, the former A's pitcher's response? Might even be better than Larry Beal. He said, with all due respect, which is more than you deserve, save it. Be an adult. Get in front of a camera and say it with your chest. Releasing a letter clearly written by someone else and including a bunch of names you definitely do not know is just disrespectful to those that love the team. We tried, LOL. The fact you still think anyone cares about that at this point shows, once again, your lack of understanding of why people love the game. You love owning stuff, just not your actions. Either stand up with pride or keep hiding. Pick one. We're tired of it.
Wow.
Fantastic. So true.
I know. What do you think it is? Like 10% of people here are kind of looped in to the Fisher and A's history and what's been going on recently. When they're here, if it works out, people are not going to know about this part.
I think they will.
Really?
They'll start to learn about it, and then they'll be like, why didn't we know about this? And they'll start to look it up and say, oh, okay.
Well, I think we're going to find out about it within a couple of years when they're here on the ground.
Yeah.
But please don't come to us and be like, we had no idea. Like we've been telling you.
Well, where did this guy?
From the get-go. We have had to basically ban Fisher and the A's topics from the show. I have wanted to talk about the Oakland A's the entire second half.
Last series in Oakland?
I reached out, I don't have to reach out to him, but I talked to Matt Neverett, and, you know, obviously the Aviators are tied to the A's, and Matt knows some of the announcers there. And, like, it was 6 weeks ago. I'm like, you know what? I really want to talk A's baseball. So he gave me a couple numbers, and I'm like, every day. I wake up every morning. I'm like, I can't do it. Because it will devolve into this. I can't do it.
It's stunning how inept and out of touch.
When we come back, we'll give you the last part of Larry Beal, ABC 7, going off on John Fisher for writing a letter saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't believe this didn't work out. We tried. Please forgive us. Because Beal was really strong with what he hopes happens in Sacramento and Las Vegas. Like the last gasp of Oakland to keep their freaking team. That's all I got left.
I think he hopes it fails as much as we do.
Yes. Well, I think a lot of people in the Bay Area would be surprised by that, and that's why please don't go after us at all. We come back hour two, Oasis on Decatur, south of Trump.